or I was a medical microbiologist. I spent all of my days looking down a microscope, and I just marvel when I look down and see the bits that make up cells, that our God is just so creative. And I know we've sung it in that song, you know, I see the stars. I know there are some. Our current president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain is a physicist, a meteorologist, and he just marvels when he sees the stars and he thinks about the galaxies, the thousands of galaxies there are, that God actually brought all of this into being. Sometimes we need to stop and just wonder and allow our minds to expand and explore and maybe even explode on occasion when we just think about how great our God is. So I wonder if you could remember what you were doing on Tuesday, October the 19th, 2011. It's what, just over 7 years ago, isn't it? Tuesday the 19th, 2011. We probably, to be honest, I can't remember what I was doing. It was probably just a typical day. For me, I probably got up. I may have done an assembly, a bit of church work. Nothing special. And probably many of your days, that day was like that. It certainly seemed a very typical day in a small town in Ohio, in the United States, a town called Zanesville. I love the Americans, and we haven't got any Americans here, have we? No, I love the Americans and how they name some of their towns. They're just really way out there. Zanesville. The weather on Tuesday the 19th was seasonably cold. It rained. People went to work, kids went to school, and more than 50 wild animals were let loose in the area. That afternoon, the police started receiving reports from alarmed residents. A wolf spotted by the local school. A mountain lion on a rural road. This is a true story. I make this not up. An African lion sitting under a street light. Maybe not a typical day after all for the lovely folk of Zanesville. By nightfall, Zanesville was in full emergency mode. Construction signs flashed the message, "Caution, exotic animals, stay in vehicle." Residents were ordered to stay indoors while local law enforcement agencies scrambled to protect the people, responding to the calls of bears, tigers, lions, wolves. It all started when a man called Terry Thompson, owner of a private zoo, released the exotic animals. He then took his own life. The freed animals included Bengal tigers, lions, black bears, grizzly bears, mountain lions, leopards, and wolves. As one local resident said, it's just like Noah's Ark was wrecked here, right in Zanesville. News cameras descended on the town, and the world watched as the surreal event unfolded. Imagine Stamford, a typical town in the United Kingdom, and as we are leaving this place, you suddenly see a wolf out the front, walking the streets. And you phone your family to say, "Don't put the roast potatoes in just yet, I'm going to be delayed." And they say, "Don't worry, because there's a big black bear sitting in our front lawn." You could begin to imagine the situation that these lovely folk of Zanesville are imagining and experiencing. They watched as these surreal events unfolded. For one evening, tigers and lions stalked, not the remote jungles of Asia and Africa, but the sleepy streets of suburban America. As I say, true story. In those twilight hours, two very different worlds collided. The wild invaded the civilized. The exotic clashed with the ordinary. The familiar was disrupted by the other. That story of Zanesville makes me wonder about another encounter. Not between a small town and wild animals, but between the human race and a holy God. Like the residents of Zanesville, we frequently hear reports of a foreign entity in our midst, but we often fail to appreciate the gravity of what that presence means. Not talking immigration, talking about a holy God dwelling with his creation. This is how the Bible describes God. Very sobering terms. Among the myriad of titles given, he is called a consuming fire. This is the God we have just been worshipping. The judge of all the earth. The Lord of hosts. A title that portrays God poised for battle. At the head of a heavenly army. This is the God that we worship. In addition to these fearsome descriptions, the Bible also stresses that God has a discontinuity with humankind. He is not a human being, he is something other. And we get that sense, we read our Bible, that image of God not being human is repeated time and time again. Maybe we imagine that God is some kind of Superman, just like you or me, but with additional powers. But that kind of thinking actually doesn't do God justice. The truth is that the God that we worship, the one that we have been singing about and to this morning, is radically different from you and I, both in degree and in kind. To use a posh word, he is ontologically dissimilar to us. Get that one in over lunch. He is wholly other. He is dangerous. He is alien. He is holy. He is wild. If you've read any of the Narnia books, you may remember the description before the children meet Aslan. I think it's Lucy says, you know, is he safe? And there's that sense of, no, he's a lion. He's not safe, but he's good. Our God is not safe. He is good. If we truly believed that this kind of God is in our midst, I wonder if we would respond more like the people in Zanesville. Actually, we would lock the doors. We would call the police because we're slightly uneasy. But sadly, I think many in our Western churches neither tremble with fear nor thrill with excitement at the prospect of encountering this wild deity. We limit God. We restrict God. We tame God. And often church experience can be predictable, can be sedate. Our spiritual lives devoid of passion. Yes, we believe, we get that, but often our knowledge is simply in our heads and doesn't make it down to our hearts. The radical nature of the gospel, again, that we've been singing about this morning, doesn't shake us, doesn't move us. We may even pray that God would keep us safe, but actually it's God is the one that rocks us, and it's from him that we need protecting. Even when we see God's work, God's hand at work, we are more likely to yawn than yell. Have we got too comfortable with our God? Somehow we've managed to make the strange ordinary. We walk by wild animals without looking twice. My wife and my kids and my wife's sister and her family, we spent 2 weeks in Canada over the summer visiting friends and family. We were in the Rockies. And for me and AD, my brother-in-law, the thrill was, let's go bear watching. Let's see what wild animals we can see. And we caught a glimpse of a few things. We saw elk and we saw bison, and they're big. And then we caught the glimpse of a grizzly in the woods, a wild grizzly. And we stopped. And cars stopped. And the park rangers didn't stop. They kept driving, saying, don't get out of your car. Keep driving, because the wild thrills. Have we tamed our God? I think part of the problem is that we have forgotten how big our God is. Let me read to you a couple of verses. If you want to read this for yourself, we're on page 546 in your church Bibles. We're going to take a couple of verses from a psalm, and I'd encourage you to read the whole psalm when you get home. It's only 8 verses, take you less than a minute to read. But let me read to you a couple of verses. We'll read those in a moment. Let me remind you of how big our God is first. Isaiah 5, verses 8 and 9 says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts not your thoughts." Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, "Have you not known, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint, he does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Psalm 147, verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 says, "For the Lord your God is God, is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God." Are we getting excited? The God that we worship is beyond us. Let me read to you another couple of verses from Psalm chapter 8 that we're going to spend the next few minutes looking at. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man?" Read mankind, humankind there. "What is humankind that you are mindful of them? The son of man that you care for them." Just 2 very short verses. Psalm chapter 8. Easy to miss, but yet so profound for each and every one of us. Because these couple of verses, these probably less than 50 words, teach us about our place in God's universe. We see that the universe is very, very big. Dave Gregory, our president, as I said earlier, physicist, did a day at Blaby Baptist Church a couple of weeks back, and he was talking about the enormity of the universe, the number of galaxies there were. And there were a few of us sat there going, "This is hurting my mind now, because I just cannot comprehend how big that is." In this big, big, big universe, we are very, very, very small. As David looked up, and I just imagine at this moment, I've got no evidence for this, but I like to speculate, and I imagine David just lying on his back, tending a sheep, just staring into the night sky as he thinks about this. As David looks up into the stars at night, he has this idea of how big the universe is. He doesn't know anything about modern astrophysics. He doesn't know anything that we know. In fact, I think his mind would be blown by the amount of knowledge that we know now and what we can see with telescopes. He would be astounded by the size of the universe that we see today. Douglas Adams, you may know Douglas Adams, the writer, the author of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I quite like Douglas Adams. He's a confirmed atheist, but he's quite funny at times. In his tongue-in-cheek way, describes the cosmos like this: "Space is big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big it is. I mean, you think it's a long way down to the chemist, but that's just peanuts to space." These verses, these 2 verses, Psalm chapter 8, reminds us of God's greatness. First, I think that the beauty and the vastness of God's creation should cause us to stop, should cause us to come and worship our Creator. We take things for granted. As I say, I marvel as a biologist looking at the complexity of plants and human beings. I admire the faith of the atheists who say, actually, this is just a big bang. Have you seen how complex some of this stuff is? You've got to have a lot of faith that it just emerged from nothing. That does a little bit of brain hurting for them. But when I look down the microscope, when I break millimetres into thousandths of millimetres, and we start looking at components of cells, when I look at a little old virus that is a thousandth of a millimetre, that's a lot of noughts, and how much damage that can do to a human body, I marvel. Do we stop and marvel at the creation we see around us? Or do we just take it for granted? Verse 3 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, David is describing God's intimate and personal act of creation. I'm so glad that God is our creator and not me, because I am not very creative. Because if I created humanity, you would all be looking like me. I would be going, yeah, one type of tree's all right, isn't it? All right, we'll have a purple flower, a red flower, and a yellow flower, but that'll do. We don't need lots of different varieties of cats. Our God is a creative God. I am so thankful that he is our creator. Just look at each other. Just look at each other. Some people are going, no, I may melt, no. But just look at each other, because we are a product of God's creation. God knit us together in our mother's wombs. He made us who we are. God is creator. I'm so thankful he is creator and not me. The world may be stained. It may be distorted with sin and human rebellion. But we can still see the beauty of our creator in his world. We may have far greater scientific knowledge of the world today. But I think people in David's time probably had a greater direct experience of nature than we do. And as I say, I can just imagine David lying back, watching the stars go by and just marvelling, being lost in wonder and in awe. The beauty we see in creation, I think, should draw us towards the worship of its creator. So I challenge you, as you leave this place, or even over lunch, I can see we've got some lettuce leaves there. Just marvel at the lettuce leaf, or a tomato, or as you're walking home, just stop for a moment and look at a tree and allow yourself to be lost in wonder. The second thing I think we can pick up from this verse is that the vastness of God's creation should cause us to consider our place in it. The universe is vast. David says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man? That is an appropriate question, I think, that we can ask in the face of such vastness. Who are we? Who are we? What is this planet Earth compared to all the stars and the planets and the galaxies in the universe? What is our place in all of this? Why are we here? The sheer size of the universe can drive some people to say, it's too big, I'm not going to think about it. We really are simply nothing. But that does not mean we are insignificant. The universe is big. Yes, we are small, but God has made a place for us in it. You and I, look at each other again. You didn't melt the first time. God has made a place for you in this universe. That's the message of this vast universe. We are not nothing, because we have God. And with God, we are something. It's God who makes mankind significant in this universe. And that leads us to the third thing. You will know, you will be pleased to know, I'm being a good Baptist and going for 3 points in my sermon. But they don't all begin with the same letter, so I failed there. But the third thing we pick up from Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, is that God has a gracious concern for tiny old humanity, for you and me, that should actually humble us, should actually amaze us. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? The word translated mindful here in verse 4 means to remember. The word translated care means to pay attention. What David is saying here basically is, why should God even notice tiny old us on this tiny old planet in the midst of this vast universe? Why should God even remember that we are here and pay attention to us? When David considers the immensity of the universe, he's humbled and amazed at God's concern for you and I, for humanity. You see, because in God's eyes, we're not small, we're not insignificant, we're not irrelevant, we're not excluded. Each one of us has a place in God's heart. Each one of us is loved by him. I won't ask you to look at each other, but look inside yourself and hear those words this morning. You are loved by our Creator God. For some of us, we do need a fresh encounter with God. We need to be amazed that he cares for us. Maybe we need to get our priorities right, realize our place in worship to him. He is our creator, not the other way round. For some of us, we need to stop withholding from him our worship, our time, our finance, our gifts. I think what Psalm 8 tells us, and what the story from Zanesville tells us, is that we need to be challenged to stop yawning at God. As if to say that we've seen it all before and we're no longer impressed. We're challenged and reminded that the living God walks among us. The God who flung the stars into space, the God who set the earth on his axis and spun it into being. God's world collides with ours. Are we impressed? Are we unnerved? Are we unsettled? Are we unmoved? How do we respond when our Creator God walks amongst us? Maybe an apologies to Douglas Adams on this one, but maybe to turn back to those words where he describes how big space is. Maybe we should say God is big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big God is. You may think he's a long way from sinfulness to forgiveness, but to God it's the length of an outstretched hand. Will you take the hand of God this morning and be amazed and renewed yet again at how great he is and how he cares for you and I?